pyramid of touchdowns, and Rebels advance to the Wet'suwl'en Mine Bowl, while the Warriors suffer their third consecutive loss in the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Fighting Justins are on the verge of going from first to worst. Can they hold off Springfield to prevent that from happening? It's a review of the first round of the playoffs and a look to Championship Sunday, all next on this special postseason edition of the Wet'suwl'en Mine Fantasy Football League Sports Desk.
And welcome aboard, everybody. Mike Irizarry with me, as always, Gary Godso, Jamie Johnson, here at the What's on Joe Mind Sports Desk. Lots to cover this week. We kind of took last week off with the holiday. It's too much to plan around. As it is, tomorrow is Championship Day, and we're recording this on Saturday. So we'll try and make quick work of it and not curse too much, and just so we can get something out for you. Let's get to the review of playoffs week one.
Playoffs?
The sham-offs are good. I'm all about the sham-offs.
All right. Let's start at the bottom. The Chucko. The FU's 82 over the New England Bazookas 74. So Justin Bell's destiny is halfway home. Just kind of your standard New England Bazookas, I haven't bothered to log in this week kind of week. Joe Flacco still kind of producing at quarterback. Frank Gore had a nice week.
I could have used those 21.
Could have used those. Yeah. We'll get to you and nobody scoring in a minute. There was less scoring going on in your game than there is at JoeCon.
Bazinga.
Oh! And just Deshaun Jackson.
Or during Couch Bowl week.
Of course, Patrick Willis still putting up a goose egg as he's been on injured reserve since week 6. And Ashley, you had the FUs led by Torrey Smith at Baltimore. Jermaine Gresham had a nice game for Cincinnati with 12 points in the tight end spot. Aaron Rodgers, not a great fantasy week, but he didn't do anything to kill them, chipping in 16 points on his own and a respectable 82 points. Gets it done against the hapless Bazookas.
Hey, Gary, I have a question.
Sure.
Did the number of points on Ashley's bench tire beat you?
Well, why don't we go find out? Let's show that bench. That would be Russell Wilson at his 39 points. That would be 40 if you add in Cordarrelle Patterson's 1 point.
Gary, you would have won by one.
So Gary would have eked out a narrow win over Russell Wilson and the assorted Jetson.
You know, you score 175 and you're thinking, you know, maybe I want some of those points to be scattered later in the year. It doesn't happen. Oh, well, we'll get to my team here later.
Going up the ladder, we've got the premature confirmation escaping the Chucko by beating the Teal Ninjas 92-82. Again, we won't get into this too much because these are games that really don't mean too much. The 11th place game, Duke's Dominators, Nick Adams beating the Duff Crew 94-80. Tough showing by the genius this year. Nick Adams finishing strong.
Poor Evan.
Talk about finishing strong, the Charlottesville Keelhauls continued on their late season run, finished 8-7. They get a win in the 7th place game over Jay Taylor and the Body Massage 98-79. Debbie's Paris Dynamites finished strong 89-74 over Oregon Outpost 788, who just a couple weeks ago was chasing down a division title and somehow is getting run out of the 9th place game now. The RHPs throwing 100 on the board again to barely nudge out the Baylor Bears.
Aww.
Right, so for all his talk about not winning a division and being the third best team, can't even win his consolation game.
Two things. Shouldn't have been there.
Oh, here we go.
Me and Rock have decided Rock's the champ. Rock's the champ. I don't know what's going on tomorrow, but Rock is the champ. So Rock, congratulations to Rock for his championship trophy.
I will heartily congratulate Rock Mastrangelo and the RHPs for beating you.
That's all that really proved right there, yeah. That's,
and thank God for that. But 18
Big
points from Matt Ryan,
47.
19 from C.J. Anderson, 14 from Joik Bell, Demaryius Thomas with 12, Julio Jones with 10. Nice even 13 out of Matt Bryant, so good production even from the kicker spot. J.B. really didn't have a bad game either. 34 out of Tony Romo is usually going to get it done in this slaughter over the Indianapolis Colts.
Jesus.
Just not much help coming. The next highest scorer, unfortunately, Alshon Jeffrey was 13.
I would have won if I had started Ryan Tannehill, but I would like to point out my bench would have beat Gary.
Most benches would have beat
Gary. A lot of benches would have beat Gary, and we'll get to that. And congratulations to everyone on scoring one more point than the Colts defense did last week. Beers all around.
What did the Cardinals put up last week? -9 in fantasy points?
Yeah, that was pretty brutal, especially from a great defense like theirs. You know, the Colts are kind of a mediocre squad anyway, but It was kind of what they had to do, considering the situation they were in. They gambled and they lost, and that's going to be how that goes. It was the only chance they had to win that ball game. Well, let's get into the playoff games.
Playoffs?
We'll get to the easy one first. The Millville Rebels continue their run by beating Gary and the Fort Wadsworth Warriors 63-47. Truly a flaccid showing by the Warriors 1 week after scoring 174 points. What was it?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a couple of weeks ago. Week 15, I did not have a good week there either. Only scored 70 there, and I scored less than that this week. It was just a bad week all around. You had the Colts that didn't want to show up for a Cowboys game.
Again, congratulations to everyone on this podcast scoring as many points as Andrew Luck last week.
Jamal Charles only wanted to show up for a half. I think we're beginning to see the beginning of the end of Drew Brees because he's not hitting hardly any of his receivers worth a damn anymore. The Rams decided that they would just stop playing defense after two consecutive shutouts. Then Cody Parkey there misses point-blank field goals in his game. So what I have here is nobody on my team did worth a damn except for Trey Mason, who actually got into the end zone. If you look at my status of all my players, every single player or the defense was from a losing effort. Just a bad week. Just a bad stinking week.
A bad week to have a bad week. Especially, I mean, on paper, Atlanta is not a great pass defense. So you'd figure Drew Brees throwing to your three receivers is pretty solid. You're going to get something out of somebody, maybe even out of two of them, and just none of them came up. They just snake eyes.
Considering 63 points would be a fairly low amount, and if the actual three seed, who should have been me, would have been here, easily wouldn't be in the title game, but, you know, that's another story. Fairly easy win for the Millville Rebels, who are going to need probably a better performance if they're going to win the title.
Had you been playing Brock Mastrangelo, Gary, you'd been just sent home.
Oh, I'd toast either way. Just about anybody I played this week, I would have been toast to. It was just a bad week by every single one of my players.
You would have lost to Justin Bell.
I know.
Millville, meanwhile, got the rare Toby Gerhardt sighting, which I think is just a credit to Millville's scouting department. Ben Roethlisberger with 14, so he just didn't screw things up. DeMarco Murray was DeMarco Murray, was pretty good against the Colts, and then didn't play the fourth quarter. Josh Gordon in the lineup for Millville.
Not going to do him good.
Not going to do him any good this week. I hope he got a change in there. That's tough. That's suspension, and we're out of there. Harry Douglas is an interesting last receiver choice. I hope he hunted on the wire a little bit. It's going to be a tough week for Millville, I think.
He did not. He's got Cecil Shorts on the bench, so the pyramid of touchdowns, well, we'll get there.
We'll get there. That's your favorite. But yes, the upset in the other game, coming down to the very last bit. Pyramid of touchdowns, 86 to the horror show, 85.
Jamie called it.
And I'll tell you what was going on with this game. I tuned in at the end of the evening games. You know, this is before the Seattle and Arizona contest. And I noticed that Pyramid of Touchdowns is down 9 points. And so they see you have one guy to play, and it's Bobby Wagner, the linebacker for Seattle, the defensive specialist for Pyramid of Touchdowns. And so all game long, I'm watching this game way more intently than I normally would be. And I'm trying to find 54 for Seattle. You know, I'm like, I'm watching linebacker play in an NFL Sunday night game. And by my count, he had 8. And then I get back on the computer afterwards, and they give him 9. And so we look like we have a tie on our hands. And then I come back on Monday. It looks like Pyramid Touchdowns was credited. Bobby Wagner had 8 tackles. And it looks like they gave Luke Kuechly, the defensive specialist for the horror show, looks like they had given him an extra tackle. And so it looked like the horror show was going to win this one by a point. And then by the end of the day on Tuesday, that had flipped itself again. And so we were back to Pyramid of Touchdowns being up 1 over the horror show, who lost a tackle. Pyramid Touchdowns gains a tackle, swings that whole thing 2 points. All I know is I want to shake the hand of the guy who set up this league with defensive specialists because he's a f***ing genius and makes things exciting.
He's created a fake sham off, but other than that, fantastic job.
To Josh Morgan's credit, the dude has been playing like he's been in the playoffs for the last 4 weeks to win his division. This game should have been no different. He just threw what he had out there, and it got him that one extra point to beat the horror show. The horror show, they have been on a steady decline over the last 5 weeks. Jamie, quite frankly, called it earlier in the season when he said, I predict the horror show will have the best record, but fail in the playoffs.
But that was really just him being bitter about being the second best Jamie.
But he called it, though.
True. his bitterness was correct. But I'm going to give his bitterness credit, not him.
The injury to Andre Ellington when he was riding the two-horse show of Justin Forsett and Andre Ellington, that's kind of what got him here. But Forsett's had a decline here lately as Baltimore's had to resort to passing to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Andre Ellington being on IR has really hurt him down the stretch.
Yeah, plus Forsett's, he's a seventh-year pro. He's never had nearly so many carries. And that dude's just out of gas.
And the emergence of Odell Beckham here down the stretch does make a big difference.
Ooh, huge.
ODB, baby. Giving me hope for the future, ODB.
With the win, it sets up Championship Sunday, Mike.
Millville gets the home game. Fort Wadsworth will play the horror show in the consolation game. Go all the way down. We've got the New England Bazookas will visit Springfield for the Chucko. Those are the important ones. Past that, we've got Paris will play the Baylor Bears. The RHPs will be host to the Charlottesville Keel Halls.
That could be a good game.
That should be entertaining because those guys are at least, they've got good rosters. They're plugged in there. The Dominators will play the Body Massagers. Premature Confirmation will line up against Oregon Outpost 788. And the FUs will take on the Duff Crews in other games that don't matter. Let's take a look at our championship game. The early line, Pyramid of Touchdowns, -4.5.
Could be a close game.
That is a tight one. Matthew Stafford starting for the Pyramid Touchdown.
That's the best quarterback they got. I don't think he's going to get anything better. I don't know if he's going to have a great game because he's playing in the cold of Green Bay, but we'll see.
But he's playing. He's got to play. He has stuff to play for.
Ben Roethlisberger will be playing as well in Cincinnati for a division title there.
That's a home game for Ben and the Steelers. However, he took a pretty big hit the last couple weeks. Last week especially, he took a big hit and missed a couple of plays.
Yeah, he's banged up. On the other side, Jonathan Stewart's been red hot lately for the Carolina Panthers. Got the Falcons visiting them for all the marbles. Another division playing game, so we know Jay Stew's going to get an awful lot of carries there. Touchdown again.
The only NFL game this week is loser goes home match. The only one.
That's two places where the league, ESPN, has given the advantage to Millville. Where, honestly, I've got to give the advantage to the other team. I've got to give advantage to Pyramid of Touchdowns in those two spots.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Meanwhile, in the receiver spots, we've got Jordan Matthews for Pyramid of Touchdowns playing the Giants, and Odell Beckham of the Giants playing the Eagles. Whereas for Millville, Brandon Oliver of San Diego is as another tailback. Terrence Williams for Dallas against the Redskins. Terrence Williams will get some reps, put some points up.
No, he won't. He did last week, but before that, he had nothing, because that's why I got rid of him.
He needed to have somebody, and going against a team that is seeing the Washington pass defense is actually a smart pickup. So if you've got to comb the waiver wire for bodies, that's a good one to pick up for 1 week. And then Randall Cobb for the Pyramid of Touchdowns, Marquise Lee for Jacksonville. Randall Cobb, obviously a superior receiver there. Kobe Fleener, with Dwayne Allen being out for the Colts, Kobe Fleener is going to see all the snaps at tight end. That's an obvious advantage there. Charles Clay is decent, but he's beat up too. There's nothing going on in that Miami Jets game. Defensive one, I'd have to give a marked advantage to Millville. Eric Weddle's going to be in a game that matters, whereas Bobby Wagner will probably show up for the first quarter, and then we won't see him again.
He might play that out. Seattle can get a bye. So.
Maybe, but I just think they'll be up on the Rams enough that it's not going to matter. The Rams are playing for next year. They've got to evaluate the back half of that roster, and that's what a lot of these losing teams are doing in Week 17 as well. We like to romanticize that they're playing for pride. And they're playing for spoilers, but it's a multi-billion-dollar business, and you got to figure out
I'm
what
not,
you have.
I'm not romanticizing that at all. I'm just Seattle's got a chance at a bye, and home field matters to them the most.
Team defenses, we've got the Patriots for Pyramid Touchdowns against the Bills. Millville is countering with the Ravens against Cleveland. There, the computer likes the Patriots. I might actually swing my advantage to the other side there. I think the Ravens might have a better chance of scoring some points there.
Do not underestimate Kyle Orton's ability to throw interceptions.
He's not quite the same as his fellow Purdue alum, Curtis Pick Six Painter. And then lastly, we've got Steven Guskowski, the kicker for the Patriots, is for Pyramid of Touchdowns. And Connor Barth, the Denver kicker, squaring off against Oakland for Millville. They're kickers, you know, whatever. So let's get our picks from the experts here. Gary Godso, head coach of the division champion Fort Wadsworth Warriors. Who you got on Sunday?
We'll go with Pyramid of Touchdowns. We'll go with the number 4 seed winning the championship 2 years in a row.
Jamie Johnson, head coach of the also-ran non-playoff contending Baylor Bears.
Well, since my team under a format that puts the best four teams in here and I would be here, I would pick me. But since we have this sham division set, I will take the pyramid of touchdowns.
Win your division. I am also in pyramid of touchdowns. I think they just got a stronger set. I look to ODB as being the difference maker in this one again, because that's what Giants fans are there to see. They're going to throw to him until his hands fall off on Sunday.
So since all three of us picked the pyramid of touchdowns, that pretty much guarantees the Millville Rebels a win.
Exactly. Congratulations, Chris Brown, on your 30-point victory. Oh, we do suck at this, gentlemen. That's basically what we've got here coming into championship weekend. Final thoughts, Jamie Johnson.
I will certainly be here next week to give you an update whether I outscored either team for my which should have been my championship game. So I will certainly be happy to give you a rundown, as I should be playing the pyramid of touchdowns for the title. I will be more than happy to give you my rundown of what should have happened. But other than that,
tune in for the wrap-up weekend with guest host Justin Bell.
Other than the terrible, terrible division setup, it's been a fantastic year, and we'll talk to everybody next week about the title winner.
Gary Godso.
Hey, I'm just looking for my first career playoff win. That's all I really need. It'll show progress from last year, at least. Otherwise, it's another fourth place finish.
You are the Andy Dalton of the What's On Dope.
Right now, I am looking pretty Andy Dalton-like, yes.
We love you Sunday at 1. Otherwise, we don't like you at all.
Yeah, looks like it.
That's all I got, too, guys. No deep thoughts for me today. We'll see you next week when we wrap this puppy up and figure out what to do with the sports desk for the rest of the year. Otherwise, on Joe Mine Fantasy Football League Review.
At least Justin's not going to win again.
The string is broken. Off the string.